Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, you remember way, way back in the day we talked about the rumors that Orlando was going to build a train, or I guess Disney was going to build a train from MCO to Disney World. And I mean, there was a rumor. There was like no details or anything. Well, it turns out that that's happening now.
Yeah. So this is more than though just the airport to the parks. This is also because this train is actually going to like Miami and all that kind of stuff as well, right?
Yeah. And so my initial thought when they, you know, talked about a train was it would take you from the airport to like, you know, the TTC or some central hub where then you could go to your hotel and the way that Magical Express kind of makes it to where you can go to your, you know, go get checked in and everything. They would have some sort of system like that worked out. But this train appears to just be like a train that stops at Disney Springs. So I don't know how much this train is going to be like a way to get from the airport to the parks for your vacation, because unless they build out some kind of special thing at Disney Springs, I mean, are they just assuming you're going to get off at Disney Springs and go hop on the bus to your hotel and go check in that way? You're going to have all your baggage and everything.
So I don't think this is fully, I don't know if they have fully figured out what they're going to do, or they're, you know, if they're still figuring that out, or if they just haven't told us yet, because clearly there's got to be more to this story. It is very interesting to me that they chose Disney Springs as the location, because as far as places go, I would have either, like you, expected it to be the TTC or expected it to be a, you know, entirely separate place that could be completely devoted to just getting people and then taking them from that point forward. But I guess so they've already said that this will not be replacing Magical Express, right?
Right.
And I guess that does make sense to me, because essentially Magical Express, whether it's run by Mears or not, is operated as a Disney thing. Whereas this train is not going to be a Disney thing. It's a thing that will take you to Disney, but it's not run by Disney. So I can see why they wouldn't want to maybe devote themselves fully to it. So without that, I don't think you create your own spot for it to go, or you don't create its own spot.
And that's why it goes to Disney Springs, is because Disney Springs is a place where anybody can go.
Right. It's a place anybody can go, and it's a place that you can conveniently spend lots of money, and Disney likes people spending lots of money. I mean, heck, right. I guess if you had like a 3-hour layover or something, you could hop the train to Disney Springs. Well, let's be honest, 3-hour layover with TSA, especially at MCO, basically means you hop on the train, go to Disney Springs, and hop on the train immediately and go, please God, let me make it back on time. I guess it offers that. They did say that it's going to be like a 2-story station, because they said like the ground floor was going to be the lobby and something else, and then the upper floor would be the actual train location. So it sounds like they are going to build this out.
My initial thought and hope was that this was going to be a, not necessarily a plus to Magical Express, but maybe like an optional, hey, you can take the bus or you can take the train.
I would love that, especially like late nights and stuff, because trains run on schedules and Magical Express. I mean, this is not a diss on Magical Express, but if you ever come in late at night, it can be quite a while before Magical Express leaves, because understandably they want a certain amount of people on there to make it worth the trip, I guess, to and from the resorts.
Well, and if you're staying at Pop, I mean, one of the value resorts, the big ones. I mean, last time Claire and I went, I mean, we were in line for Magical Express for almost an hour.
Oh yeah, I guess that's the other side is when it's, yeah, because so I tend to show up late at night where you have to wait forever for it to leave, and you might have 4 or 5 resort stops. But then at the same time, on the other side of that, like you said, if you're at a very popular resort, when all the, you know, when there's a lot of flights coming in, you have to deal with the fact that there's a lot of people who are all going to that resort as well. So on either side, yeah, a train would have some advantage. Though I guess, I mean, aren't you just kind of kicking the can down the road? Because essentially you would get to Disney Springs and then you would still have some sort of DME type experience there, I would think.
Yep.
I mean, because you can't, I couldn't see them ever using the, knock on wood, I couldn't see them using the park bus or, you know, the standard transportation for stuff like that, just because like the luggage and things like that would be very hard to do. And I know that, you know, you can do DME where you put the little luggage tag and it shows up in your room, et cetera. But, you know, there's people who don't take, like, there's plenty of luggage that goes on the bottom of the bus every time I get on a Magical Express. And I can't see that all being on a standard Disney bus or whatever.
Logistically, it would have to be something where, like, you told them, I'm going to take the train, but I still want my luggage, you know, delivered to my room. And that would be the only option. If you want to take the train, you must use the luggage service. Because, yeah, there would be no way for you to, like, take your luggage, get on the train, get on a park bus, especially at Springs, which is kind of a bus hub. You know, if you want to go from the Poly to Pop, you got to get on a bus, go to Springs, and then take a bus from Springs to Pop. You know, that's kind of a bus hub for traveling between resorts. And so there's just not a good way to say, I'm going to take all of my family and all of our luggage and get on this park bus or this resort bus, I mean, and go back to our resort. Especially it would be really confusing at places like Caribbean Beach and other big resorts that have lots and lots of bus stops. Can you imagine somebody who's never been to Disney before trying to figure out which bus stop at Caribbean Beach to get off at?
I was about to say, even if you have been to Disney before, Caribbean Beach or what is it, Riverside, that also has, like, there's a couple of places that do that.
Coronado's got like 5.
Yeah, and if you've never been to one of those resorts, like if you've only ever done Pop or one of the All Stars or something, you know, or Contemporary or whatever, if you've never done a multi bus stop resort, I don't care how, you know, like I've been to Disney numerous times, and the first time I did that, it was a little bit jarring to be like, oh wait, no, I'm going to get on and off at different times. And you know, you kind of had to rethink how the buses worked at that point. So, yeah, I think that would be weird.
It seems like in its current iteration and like just what it is right now, this is a train that just happens to stop at Disney Springs. Well, it's like a Brightline's like a light rail, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is light rail and everything. So I agree that on some level it is that. But there are a couple of other things that we haven't talked about now that we've dunked on the train and come up with all the reasons that it's not great. Here's some things that I think do make it great. Number one, and this probably doesn't apply to you and I, though I continually find myself tempted by this, and I know that I'm going to regret it, but I will probably bite the bullet at some point. Staying at like a Good Neighbor hotel.
Yeah.
Because that would get you off of, you know, off of airport property and basically most of the way there. And then those Good Neighbor hotels, I could see them saying, you're going to need to get on the, you know, get on the rail and we'll pick you up from there rather than us sending our shuttles all the way to the airport and back very easily. And another thing that this would be really nice for is if you're doing a ride sharing service, you know, whether it's Uber or Lyft or even, you know, the mini e-vans or whatever, rather than paying them $100 and some odd or whatever it is to get pick you up from the airport, because, you know, those ride sharing services have to pay additional fees to the airport and everything for the right to pick you up, or heck, even taxis have to pay a lot to pick you up from there. If you were to jump on that train, go to Disney Springs, you would free, you know, I don't think that they, maybe there is something that they pay, but I've taken, you know, Ubers and Lyfts and all those sorts of things from Disney Springs. It's not that bad. So I don't think that those same rates are in play. So if you needed one of those to take you somewhere, that would probably make a lot more sense and also be a lot quicker way, or heck, you know, maybe a break even overall to get where you were going. So yep. I could see a lot of advantages there. And that's just based off the little bit that we know. We don't know what sort of what spot Disney is going to build for this. When it's all said and done, it could be a you know, definite Magical Express alternative. And I would love a Magical Express alternative, especially not so much for, well, I'd love one both ways, but I would especially love a Magical Express alternative for going back to the airport, because yeah. Magical Express, and I completely understand why, and I appreciate why, wants you to get on the bus super early to go back to the airport. And there are times when that can bite you in the rear. For example, my mom and sister actually just took a trip. They actually got back yesterday from their trip, and Their flight was supposed to leave at 1:55. Well, around, I think, 3:45 or 3:55, their flight finally departed MCO. And, you know, it, like, they 3 hours before your flight is when you have to get on Magical Express. So they had to get on at 10:55, and then it's probably, you know, you can't take the 11 o'clock, so you got to take the 10:30. So that's a 10:30 Magical Express, whereas maybe they would have stretched that a little bit, and maybe before they got on they would have noticed that their flight was delayed. And where are you going to be leaving from? Oh, Disney Springs. Well, gosh, I wonder what we'll do while we're waiting for that flight delay, right, that just happened. Sweet, we can go to World of Disney, do a little bit more shopping. We can go grab a snack from, you know, Earl of Sandwich or whatever. So I feel like that could open up some options for that return trip, though I fully understand I will likely end up missing a flight for being a sucker and trying to wait too long. But I don't feel like there's ever been a time with Magical Express, knock on wood, that I have gotten to the airport and gone, whew, I sure am glad I got here when I got here. It's every time it's like, oh my gosh, I'm here so early. What am I going to do to burn all this time, right, that I now have to take care of? And that's with the understanding about everything that I just said about TSA at that airport earlier on, you know, and that's not a knock on TSA. That's how many people they have in that airport at any one given time that they have to go through. Still, I find myself getting to the gate ridiculously early.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Always. I normally have enough time to, like, while I'm sitting at the gate, I'll get to the gate before my flight.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're trying to figure out where you're going to sit, right? Because
right,
the gate is entirely full, but it's not even a full of people that are waiting for your flight. It's full of people that are waiting on the flight before your flight. So then you're kind of like trying to find another place to sit down, or you're kind of waiting for people to start getting up and lining up so you can sit down.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. And I love Disney. I love Magical Express. I'm not dunking on Magical Express. It's just a train makes so much more sense than, like, ideally, I think what would happen is they would run box trucks full of luggage back and forth from the airport and have everybody take the train. Like, if they had a MCO to, you know, the Disney arrival and departure zone, the new thing that they would have to build for the train, right, they would run every person between those two places on a train, and they would just run big box trucks full of luggage.
Well,
and not run buses. Because I think that makes more sense logistically. A train is going to get you there faster every time. There's no, you don't have to stop for.
And that's part of the reason DME has to leave so early, is because they are trying to account for not only whatever weirdness you'll deal with at the airport, but what, you know, like they have to figure out, well, what happens if this bus breaks down on the way to the airport and we have to send another bus and unload and reload. And yeah, that is not impossible with a train, but it's much less likely with a train.
Right. So I think ideally that's what they would want to do, because it'd be faster. It would just be faster and easier. And then, you know, then they could just run resort buses between the intake zone, whatever they would call that, and the resorts.
Or even run special Magical Express buses between the two. Here's the other thing. I remember when I flew into Narita in Japan, I took the train from there to another train station and all those sorts of, like, I did all of that with a train involved. And that train was set up, at least to me anyway, and maybe, I rode other trains in Japan, and this one was different in that it seemed to be more set up with the expectation that you were going to have luggage. And so the train was designed with that in mind. And so I think you could design that train knowing that because it's going back and forth to the airport, it's almost always going to have people plus a bunch of luggage and, you know, have overhead and floor that accounts for that luggage existing. And then that's not really a problem. And then, like I said, you can handle the people with their luggage on the train, for either people who didn't want to use the luggage tags or didn't have the, or whatever it was, right? And then when they get to the STC, the Springs TTC, I don't know. at that point, they could then take a DME style bus, and that a bus that also has room for, whatever luggage you happen to carry with you onto your resort. So I think there are a lot of options here. I'll be interested to see what happens, if any. Again, right now they've said, you know, this isn't going to affect anything with DME, but it may also depend on how popular this train is, how it's designed. I don't doubt that there's somebody at Disney who's at least thinking about the possibility of what might happen with this.
I can tell you, if there was a way to handle the baggage thing, like if they said you can take the train to Disney Springs and we'll, you know, DME your bags, I would take it. I'd do that. When I got to the airport, I'd just hop right on the train and go to Springs, because I know I can get back to my resort whenever I want to check in. That would actually be better, because Claire and I often get to Disney, you know, because we do the opposite thing you do. We usually get up about 4, drive down to the airport, fly out. So we're getting to the resort at like 11, and usually the room's not ready yet. And so it would actually be better for us if we could hop straight on a train, go to Disney Springs, and then head from Springs to our hotel at 3 or whatever, whenever the check-in time is.
Right, because really all you're going to do is you're going to stop, drop off your carry-on with the luggage services or whatever to have it, you know, sent to your room when your room is finally available. And then you've got it, and then you have to go wait for a bus to take you to Disney Springs, most likely.
Yep.
And then head over there to do whatever you actually want to do.
I mean, we could go to Springs and take a bus to a park even, and then, you know, leave that park and go back to the room and check in and then head to dinner or whatever.
Yeah, like, I see it opening up a lot of options if that's something Disney is interested in doing.
As long as they can figure out what to do with your bags. If DME will continue to run, because I feel like the only thing that could be a problem is if DME is dependent right now on you checking in with the host at the bus thing. You know, they scan your magic band and say, okay, get in line number 5. If that is somehow linked to what they do with your baggage,
I think your baggage is completely dependent on, you know, you get those little bag tags, and you put those, like, they already know where you're staying, and it, like, your baggage is already attached to your reservation and everything before you jump on a bus or any of that stuff. Like, I entirely believe those two systems are unrelated. Like, you getting to your resort and your bags getting to your resort are just two separate systems, I believe. So
that's interesting.
Because I, like, when your bags get there may not coincide with, you know, depend, like, let's say that you're in that super long line for Pop Century, right? So you're in that hour long line and you haven't boarded the bus, or like, let's say you get to the airport and, oh my gosh, you just love the pretzels at MCO. I don't know, does MCO, surely there's somewhere that has pretzels. Airports always have a place with pretzels, but you love the pretzels. And so you get off the plane and you're like, I don't care. I'm stopping. I'm getting a pretzel. And meanwhile, those baggage handlers are getting after it. They get your bag unloaded and then it heads, you know, it heads down, it gets scanned, DME, you know, the little tag gets scanned and it goes, ooh, that's my luggage. And so it gets popped over. They're not going to say, oh, well, that person hasn't gotten into the line yet. They know where that luggage is going to go.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think that part is very hard for them to do, actually. They might want to know that you're not planning on riding the bus from the airport or something, but I believe that's all doable. So
it's not dependent upon that. That's probably true. You're probably right.
Right. So anyway, now we know the buses trains are going to replace everything, and it's going to make everything so much better. You're welcome, everybody. I'm sure that all of this will come to pass, and it won't just be a train that happens to go from the airport to Disney, which in and of itself would still be a wonderful thing.
It would be cool. So very quickly, Disney has announced that park hopping is coming back on January 1st. Pandemic stuff has happened, they haven't been allowing park hopping because you have to make a reservation. But starting January 1st, 2021, you still have to make a park reservation for where you want to go. But at 2 p.m. that day, you can then park hop. And then park hopping is open daily from 2 p.m. to 8, or 2 p.m. to whenever the park closes. Yeah, so you can start park hopping again. The only caveat is that you cannot park hop to Hollywood Studios and try to get on Rise of the Resistance at the 2 o'clock thing, because you have to have a valid park reservation for Hollywood Studios to even try to get into a boarding group. So they did close that loophole right up before it's even, you know, tried to get exploited. You can't go to Magic Kingdom and then park hop over to Hollywood Studios and try to get on Rise. But other than that, I think this is a great, you know, slowly but surely return of park hopping, which this, I think, mostly will help people who want to go get dinner at Epcot.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to help people who want to go get dinner at Epcot, or somebody who wants to go to Animal Kingdom and just doesn't feel like, you know, it's as worth. I mean, I know that park stays open later now with Pandora and all of that stuff, but still, you know, there's just some of those parks that you maybe don't feel like you look at it and go, I'm not going to spend all day doing everything in that park.
Right.
And that's where I think Park Hopper is beneficial for people. To me personally, and, you know, and we've already talked about in the past that we've both kind of moved to the one day, one park lifestyle, but I don't know that this would convince me to get a park hopper, because you have things like doesn't start till 2 p.m., which admittedly I think most people who are park hopping aren't needing to park hop before 2 p.m. anyway. I don't know.
It would only be if you had breakfast reservations somewhere that wasn't the park you wanted to spend your morning at, you know?
Yeah. Or I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who have reasons for doing it that way, but I don't think it's a huge thing. The biggest thing to me would be that, you know, that little extra blurb at the bottom where they said, please note that the ability to visit another park will be subject to the park's capacity limitations.
Right.
And that is a big gotcha for me. Like, because essentially park hopping is not going to be free, right? They're going to sell the park hopper option again. And so that's going to cost me more money. So I'm going to pay for it. And let's say that I have planned out that I'm going to start my day in Animal Kingdom. I'm going to go, you know, do everything. And then I'm going to, you know, do the second half of my day in Epcot because, you know, I want to go hit World Showcase, do dinner and do Harmonious or, you know, what I don't know what's going to be going on at that point, but what, you know, the nighttime show, let's just say that, and then I go to Animal Kingdom, have a great start to my day. I'm like, sweet, I am totally on schedule, got everything done. I can check this park off my list. I'm ready to head to Epcot. And then I see Epcot is at capacity. And it's like, okay, well, I had, you know, reservations at Le Cellier. This is the only night that I had my reservation at Le Cellier, and now I can't go to Epcot. So that's the sort of thing where I'm just, and we'll see how it actually works in practice, right? Like, I'm not going to say definitely don't do this, but I do want to see if they,
something to consider for sure.
Right, right. Like, I don't know that I would want to be the guinea pig for this one. I think I'd want to maybe start doing this in, I don't know, at least mid-January or February, after we've seen how the kinks play out. Because I want to say, yeah, what was it, yesterday, as we're recording here on the 6th, I believe it was yesterday or Friday, seeing tweets that all four parks reached capacity. So, and the parks are currently at 35% capacity, and would not surprise me if January 1st they were at a higher capacity, but they were all able to reach capacity during a not typically super busy time of year, I think. And I know there's a lot of pent up demand to go visit the parks, but I'm just thinking, if it's that way now, it's very likely to be that way on January 2nd or January 5th, or, you know, at least that first couple of weeks. And yep, so
could be.
If all four parks are at capacity, like, you get done at whatever park you're at, are they counting people? I mean, clearly Magic Bands, they can do everything. Are they counting people going in and out of the parks? You know, and I know that they do that already, because that's how you end up in a, you know, whether it's the parks in phase one, phase two, phase three, right, you know, like Christmas Day or something like that. But I also don't want to be like, okay, well, I'm going to head to Epcot and I will go stand in the standby line for entrance into the, not on an attraction, but entrance into the park, you know? And you're like watching everybody who's in like the little entry courtyard or whatever. And you're like, are they leaving? You know, it's kind of like, have you ever been to the mall on Black Friday? You know, pre-pandemic Black Friday, and you're heck, anytime during the holidays, I feel like if it's a weekend in a big city at the mall and you're like watching that person who's just now leaving the mall, and you kind of are trying to follow which aisle they're going to go down so you can slowly go. Is that their car? Oh, they're going in there. Okay. Wait. Okay, good. They just got in. Why are they taking? Oh man, they just got back out of their car. Come on. You were supposed to be leaving. So I don't know. I could see the potential for things like this, but all of that said, I am excited to see that park hopping is coming back, because yep, it means, yep, that we're, sure, we're taking another step towards some normalcy. And dude, I could use some more normalcy in my life. So bring on park hopping, bring on park hopping safely. And I think Disney's going to do that. So, yay, park hopping.
So, your boy Tony Baxter, who's a semi-retired Imagineer, I guess. It seems like he's retired, but he's still, like, on retainer or something.
He's the smart kind of retired, right? Because I'm pretty sure he's the kind of retired where he's like, yeah, I'll come back to do something as a consultant. And,
right, yeah.
And, you know, then he's going to get that consultant cash, so...
Right. So somebody asked him about Journey into the Imagination. And, well, you know what? You are much more the Journey into the Imagination, one of the two of us. So why don't you explain what Mr. Baxter
said? So by that, you mean I'm the one who knows that the is not in that? It's just Journey into Imagination?
No, yeah, that is truly exactly what I mean.
Oh, man. Yeah. So basically, there was an event for Walt Disney's birthplace on the 5th, as a matter of fact, the day before we recorded, where Tony Baxter has previously said that he would really want the opportunity to redo Journey, like original Journey into Imagination, not Journey into Imagination with Figment, but original OG Journey into Imagination. And he was like, I would come out of retirement to do that, right? So I think people have been asking him about that. And anyway, during this event, he had said, you know, let me just pull his exact quote here. It says, maybe we can even do a film. He said that would be even be better. A full length animated feature film starring Figment. Let's do a Kickstarter right now. Right. And that is in addition to his earlier quote, which was, I just wish we could do that ride over. I would come back out of retirement to do that ride over. And I don't know if anything will come of that, but the idea that there is somebody who has some amount of pull at Disney,
somebody who's got a name in a window on Main Street.
Yes. And has already been tapped for, I think he's consulting, or I don't know what his exact what title is, but he is playing some part in the reimagining of Splash Mountain. So like, he's still active within the company and everything too, as he is retired. But like we said, not fully retired. He wants to see Figment continue to be a thing. And the funny thing to me about this is, I believe at this point, most people who listen to our podcast have heard how I tend to feel about things changing at Walt Disney World. And it tends maybe not to be the most positive response. I will confess to that. But at the same time, while I do not, like, my only memory of Journey into Imagination is the current iteration, right, that Tony Baxter does not like. Because he said something to the effect of, you know, they threw Figment back in there, but the Figments in there don't work within the story. And he's like, just basically wants to tear the whole thing down and rebuild, you know, a newer, better, it sounds like a newer, better version of what the original attraction was supposed to be. And it's funny to me that, like, Figment is an attraction that I adore at Walt Disney World, but yet the idea of someone doing that to it, I'm actually excited by.
Well, and the right someone.
Yeah, Tony right Baxter. Someone, and doing it the right way.
Right.
Because it's not let's tear down Journey into Imagination with Figment, and let's put Brother Bear in there. Brother Bear. Remember all the imagination that took place in Brother Bear? We definitely need to add some Brother Bear into that. That's not what the... Or let's tear out Journey into Imagination with Figment because it's not selling enough merch. We definitely need to... You know, we need to do a stronger IP tie. Now, I do recognize that a film would be kind of creating an IP tie, but I would even be okay with that because I think we discussed with maybe it was the Haunted Mansion or something. In a recent episode, we talked about one way to preserve the attractions that don't have IP in them already is to create, you know, a la Pirates, create IP based on the attraction and thereby maybe keep them from getting IP thrown in them. So I feel like there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff there. Now, a lot of it is probably just wishful thinking. I know, but I would love to see, you know, Figment get the attention that I think it deserves. And to, you know, like but I guess maybe what I love about this whole idea is that Tony Baxter came out and said, you know, this was the original idea about Figment is, you know, we want to teach people about imagination. And he even had this quote where he said, there aren't creative and non-creative people. Everybody uses it. It's just to what extent. And I think it would be really it was a really valuable story to tell. It is certainly not told in there now. And I would love to see it get back. Like one of the reasons why I'm so cool with this idea is it's what Epcot was there for, right? Like, it's about teaching something and doing it in a fun way. And so, to me, that's like classic Epcot. So, yes, please give Tony Baxter the reins and a blank check and let him redo Figment.
Yep, I totally agree.
And Journey into the Imagination. That's what you want to redo? Journey into the Imagination?
Into all imagination.
There we go. That's definitely. I think that could be the name for it.
For this episode, you can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.